6:02 in the fast lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker from Dave and Buster's in Maryland Heights. We will be here until 7, and then Chris Ranji and Alex Ferrario will take over. Chris Kerber.
Yeah.
And Alex Ferrario will take over with our first Blues Caravan show of the 2019-2020 season as we get ready for Blues hockey. Training camp is just about a month away, which is incredible. And Chris Kerber just walked through the door, so he's ready to go. He'll be joining us for a time in this 6 o'clock hour. We have, with all due respect, coming up in a moment, send in your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to "with all due respect," working in sports can be extremely fun, especially when things are going good. However, sports can also take the wind out of your sails when things go bad. That happened to our friend Tom Brenneman this weekend when the Reds faced the Cubs.
A laser to center field for a single in the sixth inning. And it's in the air to left field, and the Cubs have taken the lead. Unbelievable.
Now the first pitch slider after all fastballs to Nicholas Castellanos, and Chris Bryant is all over. The hanger on the inner third. You see where Barnhart is set up. You see where the pitch is. Not close. And a disappointing seventh inning here for the Reds.
Lorenzen has not retired a batter in this series. Not one. We're back in a moment.
You mad, bro? Awesome.
That is awesome.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
Golly. Hey, you get intense. You're bought in, right? You're kind of part of it. You're calling it day in, day out. You see this stuff from that view. You get a little frustrated. And sometimes you just can't keep it to yourself.
He had to have thrown something on that second unbelievable.
Oh, you can hear it, right?
Yeah.
You can hear something happen.
Like a pen?
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Well, I said with all due respect.
That doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want to say to me.
Sure as heck does.
No, it doesn't
it's
mean that.
It's in the Geneva Convention.
With all due respect, what the f*** are you talking about?
Did you guys see that the Giants are going to retire Will Clark's number 22? 26 years after he played his last game for the Giants, and 22 number 22s after he played his last game for the Giants. Two-factor.
Wow.
With all due respect, you had to figure this out a little bit earlier.
Nah, it's fine. Now he deserves it. After you've had 22 since having number 22, you realize that nobody's going to wear the 22 like 22 used to, you know?
I think they probably gave the 22 to 22 different people just so they could retire 22 on the 22nd time.
I agree.
Rickard Fenati, Dave McCarty, Oswald Fernandez, Damon Miner, Eric Davis, Manny Ibar, former Cardinal.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Ainsworth, Jose Cruz, Dustin Moore, Mike Matheny, Matt Morris, a couple more former Cardinals, Kichi Yabu, Ryan Rollinger, Ivan Ochoa, Alex Hinshaw, Eli Whiteside, Cole Gillespie, Roger Kieschnick, Dan Ugla, Jake Peavy, Christian Arroyo, and Andrew McCutchen are
they
the guys.
They should have done this on February 2nd.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been really good. Well, good for him. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Yeah. I bet he wishes it would happen earlier.
Yeah, I mean, absence makes a heart grow fonder.
Wonder if,
you know, something like that.
Jack Clark can take credit.
Oh.
He were.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Number 22 probably. There also.
I saw this TMZ video this morning, and it made me laugh a little bit. And I'm sure you guys have seen it by now. Now, this happened on July 31st. Shea Wirtz, who is Georgia Southern starting QB. Did you see this? He was pulled over for speeding, allegedly. And during the stop, the officers placed him in the back of the patrol car, went over to his 2016 Dodge Charger, and you could see them, like, looking at the hood of his car. There's a white substance on the hood of his car. They come back and say, "What is that on the car?" And he says, "Bird, you know what?"
Yeah.
And they're basically saying, "Yeah, right." They arrest him.
Uh-huh.
And they take the substance into, like, you know, take a test of it, and they send it to forensics. Well, forensics comes back and says, "Yeah, that's bird crap."
Yep.
Is what it, no, literally
it was bird
crap. That's exactly what it was. With all due respect, I'm not sure you should be a police officer if you can't tell the difference between coke and bird crap. With all due respect.
I agree with you. And also, who does coke off the hood of their car?
I don't know, man. Some kids
like
to party.
And then leave some.
Who does bird crap off the hood of their car? Does coke stay on the hood of your car if you drive away? Like, I don't know how these substances work.
Yeah, it's...
Really?
I don't believe it works that way. Yes, I agree. Correct.
And
it would still be there.
For any officer, I mean, just like anything else, don't you, if you don't know what something is, don't you put your finger in it and taste
That's only in the movies.
No, I think you do.
Yeah, that's not, that's
I'm
just
pretty
in the movie.
Sure that's what every cop does.
Yes, in the movies.
I've seen every movie.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of documentaries.
That seems
like,
really...
This is cocaine.
Or like when, when it was blood, yeah. They would do the same thing. Like,
it's blood.
Yeah, that's blood. They don't do that
anymore. That's all positive.
Maybe that was the way it used to be done. And then they figured out that's a bad idea. Guys, I don't know if you saw the game or heard about the game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Mariners yesterday. Well, Rays left-hander Ryan Yarbrough started the game. He went through 8 2/3 of the game with that 1-0 lead and was replaced after 99 pitches for Emilio Pagan. To come in and recorded, who did come in and record the final out. Now, Kevin Cash, the manager, said that was his plan all along. It didn't matter how long he went. He was going to go play the matchup in that particular moment. They did win the game, so he got the out. Pagan did. With all due respect, though, to Kevin Cash, I am a new school guy, but this was really, really silly. I understand the idea of wanting to win, and I think you should do whatever you think you need to do in order to win a game. But sometimes it may not be worth totally infuriating your pitcher and everybody else who was watching the game thinking, what are you doing? Let him finish this game.
You know what you do sometimes when you have numbers in front of you? Sometimes you just tear
set them
up.
Aside.
Yeah, it's like, now, you know what? These look good and all. Next time. We'll use those next time. Go get them, big boy.
I am right there with you. I think there are times to be smart and proactive. That is not one of them, though. I think... ultimately does more damage because Yarbrough's probably still sitting there today pissed off about it.
Probably, yep. I wish it had blown up in his face.
Big Sims, what do you got for us?
From the Hotshot text line, 65780, this person says, I saw a Yahoo story that the 1986 NHL first round pick Joe Murphy is homeless. With all due respect, they didn't have to use a picture of him in a Blues uniform in the Stanley Cup year.
Homeless again, okay. Too, and apparently refusing any help, which is terribly sad, but yeah, whatever.
Twister tells a great story about how he had been benched by Mike Keenan for a game at Madison Square Garden for the first period. For the second period, he just sits on the bench. Keenan punished people that way. Get to the third period, it scores like 4-1 Rangers, and Keenan says, Murph, get out there. Murph doesn't do anything. Keenan again. Murph, get out there. Slapped him on the back. Nothing. Murphy, get out there. Turns around and says, JoJo tired.
Oh, come on. There's no way. Really? JoJo tired.
That's classic.
That's wonderful. I love it.
Dez Bryant says that Dak Prescott should get $40 million a year. With all due respect, Dez doesn't have a job currently because of Dak.
Well, isn't that what Dak wanted?
Dak wants 40. They offered him 30, and he turned it down. Yeah.
Dak is crazy.
Yeah.
He is crazy. I understand that it's all about when you come up as a quarterback, like when your time is to cash in, because they just keep piggybacking each other. Everybody makes more and more money. To want $10 million more, that's nuts to me.
5 years. 5 years and $40 million
here. I would not give him that. Even if your window is to win right now, I can't do that. What do you got here?
I can't read it. Okay. It's a little get in trouble.
With all due respect, Antonio Brown should have been like Ted Williams and used his head. Hashtag cold feet.
Yeah.
Why are you...
With all due respect.
What?
Come on, man. The show's almost over. We don't have to do this right.
I'm reading the text line. It's what I'm supposed to do.
You don't have to read them all.
Yeah, I should.
Read the third one down.
Do not read the third one down.
Read them all.
No, do not read that one.
It went back to the taste test.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, son of a...
Just what I thought.
Yeah.
Open and shut case.
Do you know what that looks like on the ground? Let me taste it.
What is this, San Francisco?
Oh, my God, that's bad.
What a treat that is.
Oh.
And with all due respect, it was the younger players who sparked the rally last year for the Cardinals, and they should play now.
All right. Yeah. I'm not going to argue against it right now. Whatever you can do here, 7 weeks. You got to get through 7 weeks. Whatever it takes.
I'm with you.
Let's go, baby. Yep.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Curbs had a crazy situation with coaches. Youth coaches over the weekend. We're going to talk to him about that. And as we get ready for the first Blues Caravan, talk to him about the 2019-20 St. Louis Blues. Curbs will join us next on 101 ESPN.
This is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, the voice of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber and Alex Ferrario will be with you. It's our first of several Blues Caravan shows throughout the course of the preseason. And Chris Kerber is with us now here at Dave & Buster's in Maryland Heights. And here we are about a month away from the start of training camp.
I don't know about you guys.
Here, let's press this button.
Oh, sorry, hit the wrong one. I thought it was a cough button, not an actual cut me off button.
It's
a better button to have, a cut me off button. It isn't going to get old for quite a long time to hear Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, is it?
No.
No.
You know? Still sometimes doesn't even sound right, does it?
It is mind-boggling.
Yep.
It's like trying on somebody else's suit. You're like, this is nice and all. I don't know, though. I don't know if I should do this. Yeah. You get used to it at some point, don't you?
Listen, the response has been amazing. I just came from the AAA Blues golf tournament up at Forest Hills, you know, raising money for that organization. And it's so important to continue that growth of youth hockey along the ways. But just talking to Neil Komodowski, who played for the Blues, and here are these guys that wore the blue note that always hoped for that. But I'm telling you, to see the pride and the feeling of what they have, it's almost like they won it themselves, truthfully. And it's beyond their imagination the impact it's had in the city. So it's really something great. And, man, we'll be dropping the puck on the preseason in just about 5 weeks here. So
it's
coming quick.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're going to talk about the Blues in a moment. But Curbs had an interesting weekend. Daughters that are of athletic age. So you had on Saturday a practice for one of your daughters. And I want you to describe what happened as you were there with your daughter trying to practice and you observed it.
So Friday night, my daughter Ava, she's 9. She's playing for the AFA Phillies, one of the club teams around. It's her first foray in there, kind of branching off from some of her friends. So they had a friendly down in Imperial, Missouri. So they were playing for a club team that was down there, and it was on the high school football field there at Windsor High School. We got down there early. Traffic really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, so we got down there a little early. We're playing on the field. They had the soccer goals at the 50-yard line in. Football team starts to gather, and a youth football team. It looked like a kind of a youth group. They call themselves the Junior Owls. And I'm guessing they had to be between, you know, like fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. You know, kind of one of those development-type programs that were there. And this is good. Well, it turns out that not only the team that my daughter was supposed to scrimmage, but another girls' team actually ended up on the schedule to practice on this field as well. So you got a scheduling snafu here. The reason is that the soccer teams were there that day is, I guess, their fields down there were flooded out. You know, so, I mean, you got this terrific high school facility for them to use. So we're kind of sitting there watching this going, and the head of one of the soccer programs said, okay, well, let's take these goalposts, let's slide them sideways, you know, and so they laid the cones along the 50-yard line to prevent them from going into the football side of things. And then this other team had, you know, 25, 30 yards of field to practice with as well. And you're thinking, this is great. There's a whole group of us parents sitting in the stands and we're watching this. And the football team decides, we need more room to practice.
More than half of a football
team. No, listen to this. So they had five set up for contract drills on the near hash marks, if you can imagine this, near hash marks to the sideline, about every you know, 7 or 8 yards. You know, guys just kind of running into pads. Younger kids. They started it on the 20. May have been the 15 or 20. So you had the 15 yards plus the end zone. You had 25 yards to which to work with. They put one of them literally right at like the 47-yard line. And you're watching this going, oh, this isn't going to be smart, right? And sure enough, one of the coaches, it turns out to be a volunteer dad, if you can believe this, one of the assistant coaches walks over while the girls are kind of warming up to practice for the scrimmage and kicks the cones into their practice area. Then starts running their drill over the 50 and well into their practice area to the point that some girls are stopping before running into these football players. And we're sitting back watching this going, what's going on here? And I'm waiting, and then I'm like, I don't like this. This is not good for me either. And so one of the soccer coaches goes to the assistant coach. Kid guy just folds his arm, nothing. 5 minutes later, same soccer coach goes to another coach standing there. Nothing. At this point, I looked at my wife and the guy I'm sitting next to, and I said, I got to go for a walk. I got to go for a walk, or this isn't going to go well. So I went behind the stands and just started walking. And I look over, and I see the head guy with the soccer club talk to the leader of this football program out there, the Junior Owls. This guy just folds his hands, walks away from him, and the head of the soccer goes, like, are you serious? So in the end, I go, that's it. I'm done. And I walked right out onto the football field, walked straight to the coach, said, Coach, I'm Chris. What's your name? And he looks right at me like I was bothering him and goes, Greg. I said, okay, Greg, man, there's plenty of room here for all this to happen. We got a whole football field here. And I don't know, a scheduling issue, what, but there's three girls' teams over there to find a way to make this work. All you got to do is move that one drill right to here. I mean, this is over 4 yards of space. And he goes, I got every right to be on this field. We're going to use every inch of these 50 yards. We're going to run drills, and we're going to – and I said, but you don't – and he goes, and that's the way. And I said, okay, no problem. I took my phone and said, smile, coach. Took a picture of him. You can't use my picture. I go, oh, yes, I can. I said, can't use picture of the kids, but they're not in the picture. But you, I can use this. And he goes, what's your name? Told him. And he goes, last name. I go, Kerber, K-E-R-B-E-R. And then I'm walking away. Did you sense
anything here about, did you have a clue?
No, none. Absolutely none. And I bring it up. At this point, I'm dad. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Right? And it's calm. All right. This is not an intense conversation at all. I'm not going to let it get that way. So I then walk over and I help the soccer guys move the soccer fields over to the other side of the field. We then adjust the cones and all this stuff. In the meantime, they're still rolling. These football guys are just rolling over the cones that they kick. So I walk in and I said, sorry, guys, excuse me. And I pick the cones up, move them out of the way. At this point, we get things rolling. Well, now the moms and the other people that were there to watch the kids play soccer had to walk across the field. Decided to walk across the field. One mom says, nice message you're sending your team, your kids, coach. And the coach looks back and says, what message is that, mom? Okay, so now we're getting into a pretty disrespectful tone here. Oh, at which point then, two other moms and a grandma just start barking, right? And I can see where the emotion's going. So I'm standing at the 50-yard line watching this. We get that calm down. There's the one mom from the other team. She was awesome. She was fired up. Put my arm around her. She said, come on, we cannot do this here. This is an even worse example, you know, for both these guys. We'll handle this separately. So practice goes on. These guys with the football team never went near the 50-yard line the rest of practice. So you could imagine just essentially they're just being jerks,
right?
You know, and basically saying and flexing, right? Yeah. And you know, because you have to do this if you're a football player.
Well,
right?
Sure, of course.
Yes, yeah. So at the end of practice, I'm like, oh, not done yet. So practice ends. I walk over. I wait till all their kids are out of the way. All our kids are pretty much gone. Said to Christy, I said, here, take the jug, take the keys. I'll see you at the car. And she goes, okay. So I walked over there. The guy's cutting up some watermelon, the head coach is, and I said, fellas, kids are gone. Let's have a conversation about this. I stick my hand out. I said, I'm Chris Kerber. I'm one of the dads on the team. Guy looks, and he goes, no. I went, what? So then there's another guy standing next to me. I said, fellas. And he goes, don't even talk. He goes, this is over. I go, oh, guys, this is not over. And they said, no, it's over. I said, no, fellas, it's not over. One of your coaches did this, and I go, and they did it to a 9-year-old girls' soccer team, and you just sent the message to everyone out there that that's okay to do. And they go, nope, it's over. I said, I'm going to give you one more chance to talk this through because I think it should be done here. It shouldn't have to go up higher. And they basically turn around, and guy says, look, I do some of the scheduling too. It was a scheduling problem. I go, yeah, I know, and it's our job to work through that. And make sure that this doesn't happen again. He goes, it's over. I said, all right, fine. Just so you guys know, it's not over. You're about to find out. Twitter happens. Mm-hmm. I did a Twitter video Saturday morning and just laid it out there. Just the facts like that. And it's created quite a stir down there. And I know the administration of the high school has focused on this a lot today. And here's something that's need to make very clear on this. This is the only reason that the high school is involved here is this was on the high school ground. This was not the high school team.
Right.
This is not a knock on the high school. This is not a knock on their football team. What I come to find out, though, which does raise an eyebrow, is their head coach was one of the coaches on the field.
The Windsor High head coach
was one of the coaches on the field and decided not to intervene with Greg, who is running this Junior Owls program. Over the last couple of days, I sat on it for about 48 hours. I sent an email last night to the principal of the school, the superintendent, and their new athletic director. Got a very good response today. I'm actually going to be going down there tomorrow morning and meeting with the principal, the athletic director, and the head coach of the high school football team. And my point was, with all this, guys, is, look, it's not my job to try and get a guy ousted from an organization. That's not what the attempt that I'm doing here, all right? It's up to the parents of that organization to know what happened. And then they can make the value judgment. They're the ones that deal with that organization. They're the ones putting their kids with this coach, all right? But as thinking about it, you're going, we have got to continue to get to the front of making sure that parents are much more involved in the value system that their kids are being a part of, whether it be through sports, other clubs, or whatever. And that's why when I went on Twitter with this, I know the guy's last name now. You'd be surprised how many people have reached out on this. I know the last name. I know the names of some more people involved. I'm not putting it out there. I don't want the message to be about who done it and what's going to happen to him. I want the message to be that we have to get parents willing to stand up and say something. How powerful would it have been, guys, if one of those parents on that football field, or from the kids on the football side of things, would have walked out there and said, what are you guys doing?
Rip their kid
Move
off.
Move down there and go to that. Now, if that happens, well, I'm still telling a story, but I'm telling a great story.
Yeah. Well, exactly. There's two things that I take out of this. Number one, clearly people there were condoning bullying and intimidation.
Correct.
And that is not what we want to teach our fourth and fifth grade boys. And the other thing is that there are clearly people here that are incapable of talking something out to a conclusion. Oh, no, it's over. No, it's over. Hey, come on, be a man.
Well, listen, let's go to the be a man thing, all right? Because you're right. In this standpoint, you want to be a man? Here's what a man does. A man says, guys, this isn't right. We're going to move this down here. And by the way, every one of you football players, get over here. We're going to help move these goals for these 9-year-old girls, and we're going to set this stuff up for
and
them.
And treat them with respect.
And we're going to, and this, and imagine the message you're sending there.
Bingo.
They decided not to do it. Again, right now, as of now, I don't know if anything is going to happen from a coaching standpoint from the youth thing. What I would say is I implore all the parents out there, right, especially because there are people up here in St. Louis that know people down there. I mean, and I have found this out through the responses I've gotten. It's up to you. Do you want the change to happen? Do you want the head coach of your youth football program to be the kind of guy that does that, that condones that? And you as a parent, if you don't speak up and you value the football more, you're condoning that as well. Now, I totally understand where someone's going, hey, that's not me. I'm not confrontational. I get that. So We're going to start doing a lot of things, and we're going to create some programs. I had some great talks today with somebody with the Missouri High School Athletic Association, and even NC, some referees. Like what's happened today has blown my mind.
Good
I've had
you.
all these different people actually reach out to me, and I said, "Well, you're going to put your money where your mouth is, and your face where your mouth is," which is good because those are in relation to me. I originally, fellas, I hate this aspect of youth sports, and I was just going to say, I'm going to be the parent that stands off to the sideline, and I'm not going to be around these other parents. But in the last year, the 4 or 5 examples that I have seen, and specifically at games that my kids have been involved in, and more importantly, how refs have been treated and how parents have reacted when a coach is kicked out of a game, this one put it over the edge for me, and I said, no more. And when I told those coaches, guys, it's not over, I don't think they realize just how much of a bear they poked on this one, because it's now we're going to go to another level of awareness, and we're going to my hope is that we turn this into a much greater dialogue for good and change that make people feel comfortable to say, let's not let this happen.
Good for you.
The main message is it's youth sports. You're an adult. Behave like an adult.
Yeah, I you know what, and I understand competition. I understand that winning is part of competition, but when I find out, when another coach has reached out to me and said, "Hey, this guy ran a score up on me 58-0 once," and when I addressed him about it, the response that I got was, "Well, your kids just aren't good enough, and if that's a problem, they just shouldn't be out here." And you're going, "Oh, hey, fourth, fifth graders, sixth, maybe even eighth graders, guys."
BT would say, you don't like it, play better.
Yeah, for adults that are making money professionally.
I would say that.
Like, listen, you're a professional athlete. I mean, you know that there is a difference where it's values included.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And you said a second ago, if you, as a parent, if you value the football more, the beauty of it is you can have both. You
Correct.
Can have great instruction, and you can actually teach good things. How many times, people listening, have you walked around, oh, kids these days. No, it's not just kids. It's you, man.
You're the one that raised them.
You're the example. Like, whether it's parents, it's coaches, we have a responsibility. Winning is great, all right? We all like to win. I think it's important to learn how to win. I think it's important to learn how to lose. I think it's more important, Curbs, to your point, learn how to be a good human being. We all learn. We learn stuff every day. I learn more life lessons, and I was fortunate enough to have great parents who instilled morals in me and values. I learned a lot through baseball, though, and I learned a lot through coaches and examples of doing things the right way. That's what we should all want as parents, is our kids to be in a situation like that, not like the situation you're talking about.
You have to, as a parent. When you sign your kid up, and I don't care whether it's CYC, a club sport, a high school sport, a youth sport, you are putting yourself in the responsibility position to make sure that those moral standards are upheld. And look, the temperature and the mood of just society today, and I'm trying not to let this get bigger than it is we should say who this guy's name is on Twitter. We should put his picture out there, and we should railroad him, and we should get him out of there. Maybe he deserves it. But that's not my call. That's not yours, Randy. That's right. That's the organization and the parents' call to do that. So I'm trying to avoid that type of witch hunt. But I don't care what's going on with the president and his tweets. I don't care what Fox News and CNN and all these different media outlets do. You can, whether it be with your own neighbors, you can within your own community, you can within your own sports organizations, create the atmosphere that you need to have. And then maybe we cut down on some of these things and these angst that become larger problems. And again, whether it's through sports or something else, guys, we have that opportunity. And we're now going to get after this even more than some people have.
The voice of the Stanley Cup champion Blues, Chris Kerber, with us on 101 ESPN. The Blues Caravan is coming up, and Kerbs is going to tell us what that entails next on 101 ESPN.
This is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Ever since Chris Kerber became voice of the Blues, he's always enjoyed spreading the word about Blues hockey. Not as difficult to do now.
No, a little easier.
as it has been in the past. But I know this is something that you've always enjoyed doing as we approach training camp, getting out and doing these caravans, or whether it's in studio, but making sure that people are aware of what's coming up.
Yeah, we started these, I don't know, about eight years ago maybe now, and it was everyone at that point, they're talking Rams football and Cardinal baseball, and we weren't necessarily given a ton of great reasons to be talking hockey. So we started just basically saying right about this point in time in August, once a week, let's take a radio show out on the road, try and hit all these different parts of town. We try not to do it from the same spot multiple times. So we hit West County, St. Charles, South County, Illinois, everywhere we go, North County, and just try and bring some hockey talk out. If we're lucky enough to get players to show up, it's difficult. As you know, Joel Farnsworth is going to be with us here, Blues long-time equipment manager, and he's got a couple of some great stories about what was going on behind the scenes during the Stanley Cup final run, and we're going to do that, and we're just talking hockey from 7 to 9 on Monday nights right up to the season when we kick off a whole bunch of new great programming.
Now, I would think that it's even more difficult now talking about getting players, not because they won the Stanley Cup and all of a sudden now these guys are too good for it, but because there is limited time now when you're just talking about getting ready. I mean, it's go time before we know it. As you mentioned, 5 weeks and you're going to have a first preseason game. These guys are probably sitting there looking at their schedule, getting their workouts in, like, man, we're up against it right now.
Yeah, and as you know, it's probably not even the physical part at this point. For a couple of them that, that maybe had the surgery, like Robert Thomas and things like that, maybe it is. But it's the mental rest. Even as a fan, you don't feel like you figured out what happened, right? These guys are in the middle of it, and they're the ones that actually did it. So I don't know that the mental rest aspect of sports gets as enough of a focus as it really is, because to me, that's almost as important as the physical at this point.
How are you with this after games? I listen to you guys. You're fantastic. You get into it. As a player, like, I had a tough time coming down all the time. So that's talking about the mental thing. So that, for baseball, it's 162 times. For hockey, it's half that, but it's a lot. Like, where you're up all the time, you do need that compression time. Do you feel that, like, just broadcasting the games, do you feel like you're up after the game?
Kirk needs to talk it out after every game.
Randy, they used to close us in at 14th and Clark because we had to do postgame shows till midnight. Well, literally till midnight. Okay. Hey, listen, you thought goalie talk. I mean, I'm talking 15 years of every phone call was about the starting goaltender, all right? Yeah. And we're like, wait a minute, the security guard's left. Like, the doors are locked, but they shut off the taps, too. This is not a good combination here, fellas.
Yeah.
No, you – whoa. You do have to to kind of come down a little bit there. And I got to think from a player's, too, from a player standpoint, you've got to come down from the from a season. Because
certainly.
I mean, those grinds are just amazing. Chad Ruweedle of the Pittsburgh Penguins was out at the golf tournament today, married a girl from Kirkwood, so St. Louis is his off-season home. He said he's going out right around September 1st, and he goes to get ready for the grind. You know, and I'm telling you, I think it's as much the mental prep as anything else.
Absolutely. So then how do you make up for it once the season starts, since these players don't get it for as much as everybody else in hockey does?
You know what it's shown me is some pretty mad respect for the Pittsburgh Penguins winning back-to-back.
Nice, yeah.
The Blackhawks 3-6, 2-3 for the L.A. Kings. That's hard to do, and I think the coaches are going to have their strategies of how to turn the flip the page, even give guys some mental rest if possible at the beginning of the season. You know, how you work that lineup at the beginning of the year could be pretty critical in your way to bridge the gap.
We're looking forward to the show and all of the shows. And, of course, once we get going with games and, like you said, all the shows that we've got here on 101 ESPN during the season, it's going to be pretty awesome. Looking forward to it.
Hey, this all sports talk stuff is pretty cool.
It's not bad, right?
It's nice, right?
It's a simple life, like Curbs.
Yeah, this is good. I get used to sitting here doing this.
You never have to take anything seriously, which is the best part about it.
We hope.
The worst thing that ever happens is
Is I knock a table over and spill a cup
of water. We're not too worried about that.
I was thrilled at the beginning of the video to hear the first voice be mine talking about how terrible the Blues were.
I, too, enjoyed that, Randy.
Hey, listen, by the way, there's going to be a role. To this day, I give Mike Claiborne grief because I remember growing up in the Heck of the Year video, and Mike is in that Heck of the Year video going, the team never died and never quit, and I even on the air, I still give my grief about it. So if you're immortalized in that video, kids are going to know who you are later.
You go, Randy.
We'll hear from you in about 15 minutes, sir.
Awesome,
thank
guys.
You.
Thanks for helping me get that word out there. We're going to come up with some great ideas and make this a bigger program.
That's great.
Yep, thanks.
Chris Kerber on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We're going to wind things down with a little game of Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN.
Goodwill accepts car donations. Running or not, it's easy at MERSGoodwill.org.
The smartest way to do your homework is Heckman.
Summer has arrived. Come on in and browse our showroom, highlighting some of the multiple lines of decking and accessories that Heckman's has to offer. Let us show you all the options available, and you choose what complements your lifestyle, home, and budget. We won't be undersold on any in-stock decking and railing, guaranteed. No commission salespeople, just expert advice. Do it yourself, or let Heckman recommend reputable contractors to build that deck of your dreams. Looking to give the inside of your home a little TLC? Heckman stocks a variety of wood and shiplap wall options with endless choices of interior trim to add some upgraded features to your existing home, decking, remodeling, or new construction. Heckman can do it all. Let us show you the possibilities that exist with the price, quality, and service that Heckman's has provided since 1945. Visit our showrooms at 3030 South St. Peter's Parkway in St. Charles and 390 East Wood Street in Troy. Check us out online at HackmanSTL.com and like us on Facebook.
Do you have friends boasting about their tax returns, but you've been contacted by the IRS for past due tax debt, wage garnishments, levies, and liens? Do you owe the IRS over $10,000? I can help. Hi, I'm Lance Drury. I'm a local tax attorney with over 30 years of legal experience. I know your rights, and I've helped hundreds of individuals and small businesses resolve their IRS problems. For example, I represented a man who had a medical issue and tough life experiences that affected his ability to make a living. Then the IRS said that he owed nearly $15,000. After intense negotiations, I had him placed into non-collectible status, and the IRS IRS will leave him alone. I helped ease his burden, and I would like to help you. Call me now, Lance Drury. We'll meet for free and confidentially. If you have IRS problems, you need a tax attorney like me, Lance Drury. That's tax resolution attorney Lance Drury. Call 314-260-6120 or go to LanceDruryLaw.com. That's LanceDruryLaw.com.
Lawyer, it's an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
Hi, I'm Tom Chulik, President and CEO of your St. Louis Regional Chamber. This year, the St. Louis Regional Chamber launched Voices of the Region, a speaker series in partnership with Psychological Associates. We feature some of this region's most celebrated and influential professionals presenting a wide variety of topics aimed to support regional business growth. With speakers from local companies such as Barry Waymuller, Centene, and Reuben Brown, you don't want to miss any of these topics. Visit stlregionalchamber.com to register.
Hi, this is Jay Delsing, and my show Golf with Jay Delsing is brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. You can hear me at 8:30 to 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We're going to talk about the majors. We've got some cool interviews on the way, and we are going to cover anything that has to do with golf. I'm going to tell stories from the tour. We're going to give you swing tips. We're going to do some lessons. We're going to do anything we can to help you play better golf. Sunday mornings, listen to 101 ESPN Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club.
The following is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended to provide gambling advice. WXOS is not responsible for the content of this programming.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for 101 ESPN. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NFL preseason week number 2 getting underway on Thursday night with 5 games. Point spreads for those games: Jacksonville at home against Philadelphia. Jaguars are favored by 3, over under at 36.5. That's the smallest over under of all the Thursday night games. The Jets play in Atlanta. Atlanta, 1.5 favorites, over under at 44. Cincinnati is at Washington. Washington sitting as 3.5 point favorites, the over under at 41. Baltimore at home, 3.5 point favorites against Green Bay. Arizona, 3.5 point favorites against Oakland. For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on 101 ESPN.
This is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
All right, as we get ready for the Blues Caravan with Chris Kerber and Alex Ferrario and Blues Equipment Manager Joel Farnsworth later, it's time for a game of Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here's Big Sizz. Turn your microphone on.
Well, it's usually on.
Come on.
All right.
See, I've got the different mic where you just slide this thing up.
Get it together.
Would you rather in your single days? In your single days, Ron.
Yeah.
Would you rather save and marry a princess from a dragon guarding a castle, or kick the princess out and enjoy the castle and a pet dragon?
Oh.
Save and marry the princess. Totally.
I'm going to kick the princess out. I get the castle and the dragon. I feel like I could get all kinds of princesses.
Yeah.
If I have access to a castle and a dragon.
I'm going with that, too. Not every princess is perfect.
That's
like you
right.
You might meet her and like, oh, well, why did I save her? Yeah. I should have let her the dragon
I'm thinking
eat her.
That's right. The princess has access to make payments on the castle.
Yeah, but it'd be your castle.
Yeah, it's mine now.
Once you take it, I mean, you still have to pay taxes.
And you know what? If I don't want to pay.
Got a dragon.
If I don't want to help. Exactly. Got a dragon. Matters. Excuse me, Chris.
Come on in. Yeah, collect that.
You owe me. Oh, do I? Well, here's my payment plan.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking a dragon and a castle. Are you kidding me?
The
with
other
that?
Thing,
absolutely. Just, Telchik, you can come see my dragon.
I'm the sort of guy that wants to save that poor princess. I want to make sure that she leads a good, happy life.
Want to come to my castle?
No.
Want to see my dragon?
Not really. Does it breathe fire?
Maybe.
Well, still no.
Actually, I think it's especially no.
Would you rather find out now, as an adult, that you were adopted, never been told about it, or find out your parents tried to adopt you, but nobody wanted to take you?
I think the first one.
I think for sure the first one.
Absolutely.
Totally the first one.
Who cares at this point? My parents loved me and brought me up, so that was good. I would hate to find out. It's like, golly, we couldn't unload you. We left you in so many places, and nobody ever took you.
Tried every fire department, police department,
they kept bringing you back.
In a basket.
Oh, man.
That would suck.
You know, maybe the ultimate troll job is if you're a parent, okay, and you did adopt a kid, but you never told him, and you're on your deathbed, and as you're breathing your last breaths, you go, by the way, you were adopted. And then you just go. You're gone. And he's sitting there going, wait, what? I was a top. What? Come back and tell me about this.
Doctor.
That would be
amazing. He's got to say 10 more words.
I know. Sorry, he's got a DNR. What can I do about it?
Would you rather have the legacy of Tiger Woods for golf only or LeBron James for the NBA?
Tiger.
Okay.
15.
He's got 15
majors, and he's close to the all-time record for wins. Heck, give me Tiger with all the trouble. I'll take that over LeBron.
Yeah, me too.
Being the best ever, for sure, and there's no question about you being the best.
Yeah,
I'll take that, I guess. Even though being LeBron is pretty awesome.
And he has a great legacy, and he's got that school that's part of his legacy.
Yeah.
Would you rather lose a limb to a shark or lose a limb to a tiger?
Oh, man.
Well, probably to a tiger, because if I lose it to a shark, that means I'm in the water. And if I...
Tiger's a better story, too, isn't it?
Right.
I don't think anybody's going to stop talking to you for either story.
Right.
If you come over here without an arm and tell me either one of those stories, I'm in for the night. Like, whatever you want to tell me.
Well, if I lose a limb in the water, what I'm thinking is there's a good chance I don't make it out of the water.
No, you're going to be... I think in this scenario, you're out either way. I understand the bloody water and not a good thing.
Right.
You're basically chumming the area.
Yeah.
I think I'm going shark.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm doing tiger.
They're both very cool stories.
Yeah. 65780 if you've had a limb.
What happened to your arm?
Shark or a tiger.
It's cat food.
Yeah. Damn tiger bit my arm off.
And we laugh a lot on this show. Would you rather?
Do we?
I think so. Would you rather every time you laugh, you uncontrollably drool? Or you let out some toots.
Oh, toots.
Every single
laugh. Because you can talk through the toots.
You can't
talk through the drool. That's a problem.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So,
yeah. I love jazz.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Let me show you my flute.
Do you have an answer?
I'm going to see your flute.
Are you going with the toots also?
I'm going to see your flute.
I'm a jazz flute
dragon.
Guy.
I'm going to see your flute or your dragon. Oh, what?
That's it?
Yeah.
Come on,
man.
Ready for some hockey.
Oh, yeah. Hockey talk.
Yeah, we do. Our thanks to our producer, Brad Barnes.
Chew it.
And do it.
There you go, BT.
Well, big call-up today. Mike Schill, what can you tell us about Randy Arozarena?
He's a very hot guy.
Ooh.
All right.
Like wrong with that.
Okay.
Ron.
Guys, this show was unbelievable.
We're back in a moment.
Dodie Rahlman with a long day getting us on the air here at Dave and Buster's. And Mike Ryder, as always, doing a fantastic job as our board operator.
Appreciate it.
And don't forget our first Blues Caravan show, Chris Kerber and Alex Ferrario with you from 7 to 9 here on 101 ESPN. And you can stop by here at Dave and Buster's and watch their show right inside the door. And thanks to our friends here at Dave and Buster's for opening their doors to us today. For all of us, thanks to you for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. And until tomorrow at 3, good night, St. Louis.